Ruth say, death may separate us, but for us as the Christian, not even death separates us from God. That's commitment. That's love. That points us to Christ and to who God is and to what he's done for us in our place. And here, Ruth declares her devotion to God and to Naomi. And then look at what Naomi's response in verse 18. It says, and when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, this is the idea of persistency and resolve. She's like, Ruth is just not going to give up. When she saw this, she didn't say anymore. If this is what Ruth wants to do, this is what Ruth wants to do. So now, look what happens in verse 19. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. So this is a 7 to 10 day trip, about 75 miles, just Ruth and Naomi together. It says in the middle of verse 19, and when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, meaning the town was excited and surprised. Have you ever heard of the phrase, there was like a buzz? It would be like some super, super famous people coming to Santa Rosa, and you're like, oh, did you hear this? So-and-so, that kind of stuff is going to be here. That's the idea. There's this excitement and this buzz hearing that Naomi has come back. Could likely mean that Elimelech and the family was a pretty well-known family with some notoriety, but the town is just excited, and they're wondering what's happening with Naomi. The whole town is stirred. Well, look what happens next. It says, and the women said, is this Naomi? This is question likely reflects the differences in Naomi from the time she left until now. Remember, when Naomi left, she had husbands and sons. She comes back with no husbands and sons. She now comes back with a daughter-in-law who is from enemy territory who, according to the people's minds, worships a different God. It also reflects likely Naomi's attitude and even her appearance. You ever seen someone who's really gone through the troubles and tragedies of life? And after you haven't seen them in a while, life has a way of aging us, doesn't it? I remember my parents used to name their gray hairs after me, right? Right? So that's kind of the idea here. They're like, is this Naomi? It's like they don't recognize her. Well, look at Naomi's response to their response. She said to them, don't call me Naomi. Naomi's name, remember we talked about this, means pleasant. She says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Mara is a word that means bitter. Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty. This is a word that emphasizes God is the all-powerful one. She says, the all-powerful one, God, has dealt very bitterly with me. See, Naomi, in her suffering and her loss, she feels that God is against her. She feels that she's guilty and hopeless and under his judgment and in no way that she can get out. She even says in verse 21, she says, I went away full. Meaning, Naomi left with all her family. And she returned with nothing but her daughter-in-law. I went away full, and notice she says, the Lord has brought me back empty. Loss, sadness, pain, difficulty, suffering, hopeless. Why call me Naomi, she says, when the Lord has testified against me? This is the idea of Naomi saying, my suffering and loss are God's way of telling me that I have no hope, and I'm guilty, and I'm under God's judgment. The Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought this calamity on me. See, Naomi is letting the people know and then letting us know that she thinks that God looks at Naomi as if Naomi is her enemy, his enemy. Instead of using God's power to protect her and provide for her, the idea is she's saying, God, you've turned your power against me. She sees God as sovereign. But she sees him as a sovereign judge. But this is a sovereignty with no grace, a power that has no compassion, and there's no hope for her for rescue or restoration. None, zero. She's so focused upon what's happening to her and in her life, even though she believes, she just thinks, God, you're against me. I have no more hope. I don't have any hope. Now, you and I can sit back because we're not Naomi and be like, well, you kind of forgot about your daughter-in-law. Like, she's a human being with you. But have you ever noticed when you're going through trouble and difficult times, it's hard to notice the blessings and the grace that God has provided for you that he's put in front of your face? Especially when you're really focused on the bitterness and focused on the trouble and focused on the difficulty. That's what's happening with her. And yet, there's always glimmers of hope. Look at verse 22. It says, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And then notice the last phrase in verse 22. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Friends, this is God's way of letting us know that things are about to change. Remember verse 6, the Lord had visited his people because he cares about them, because he's committed to them. Well, now it's time for barley harvest. They are coming back at the best time. When harvest time is coming, when there's crops and when there's grain. It's the idea the author wants us to know that even in the midst of difficulty, there is hope because of who God is. And so friends, for us this morning, here's what we want to think about together. When we go through difficult and troubling times, when we go through times of tragedy, those times often reveal our perspective and our hearts. Have you noticed that? I heard a quote from a sports guy that said, sports don't build character, they reveal it. That's the same with life, right? So some of us this morning may be feeling and responding like Naomi right now. I mean, I've been Naomi probably more times than I would like to admit. Others of us this morning may, by the grace of God, be responding like Ruth. Throughout all of our lives, if we're honest with each other, it's likely been both. But whatever our current perspectives are, and whatever our hearts are currently at, the point of God's word here is we need to remember and rest in God. But it's hard. Because the circumstances are right there, right? And they feel like they're not going to end, or it's going to get worse, and it may even get worse. And yet, the text reminds us that there's hope because of God. So we, as the people of God, through the Spirit of God, because of what Christ has done, need to be a people who consistently remember and rest in God's authority and power and control. That God is actually sovereign over all things, that things aren't spinning out of control, even if it feels like it in our life. That God is greater than everything and surprised by nothing. So what's going to happen to you tomorrow that's going to throw you for a loop is not a shock to God. And the really cool thing is God is not a sovereign God with no compassion, though, and no kindness. He loves you. He sent his son Jesus to live and die and rise in your place. He sees you, if you're his follower, as his child. That's a different kind of control, right? We're not going to the control of a dictator. We're going to the control of a father. The love of a father. The leadership of a father. That's why we rest in him. We also need to remember and rest in his direction and work in our lives and all of his creations. What we're seeing here in Ruth and what we will continue to see in Ruth, friends, is this thing called God's providence. Not a city in Rhode Island. God's providence is God's active work in the day-to-day lives of his creation. From his people, even to unbelievers. In all of his creation, God is working and moving. So as the people of God, we don't believe in luck or coincidences. We believe in God, who in his providence is working things out, according to Ephesians 1, for the counsel of his will. According to Romans 8, for his glory and our good, even when we wrestle and struggle with that. God is at work day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, for his honor and our best. I love this quote from John Piper. Here's what he said. He said, God could be doing 10,000 things in your life right now, and you may be aware of three of them. We need to remember and rest that God's at work. God's at work, even if we don't get it. We need to remember and rest in God's compassion and kindness and love and faithfulness to us. Friend, if you belong to Christ, God sees you as his child. And so he's treated you with compassion and grace and kindness and love. Even in his discipline of us, it's out of his love for us and his commitment to make us more like his son. That's the ultimate good, right? That's the ultimate good for us. In fact, all of the above and more have been shown to us in Christ, have they not? We've seen the sovereignty of God in Christ, haven't we? We've seen the providence of God in Christ. When it looked like evil had won, Jesus is like, actually, I've won. All part of God's plan. We've seen the compassion and kindness and love and faithfulness to us in Christ. That while people were screaming and reviling Jesus while he's hanging on the cross for our sin, he still stayed there and he gave up his life for us so we could have life in him. And that's why we can remember and rest in him. See, friends, because of Jesus, God is always present with us. So we have to remind ourselves, he's not going to leave you. Other people may leave you. Even people that love you may leave you. They're going to die. But at all times and in all circumstances, we can count on God. Because of Jesus, God is always for us, meaning God cares for us deeply and he desires what is best for us. He's the only one who can give us eternal peace and eternal joy and eternal comfort and eternal contentment and eternal delight in him. The only one. And that's what he desires to give us and has given us in Christ. And again, because of him, God is always at work in us to guide us and to transform us and to help us endure even during difficult times. And so in light of that, here's our response. Our response should be the words of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You probably don't even need to turn there, huh? Trust in the Lord, and you know that word for Lord is that committed, devoted, loving, compassionate God for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, everything about you, and do not lean on your own understanding. Friends, isn't this really hard though? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge who God is. Acknowledge what he's done. Acknowledge that he's for you and with you and in you. And notice, he will make your paths straight. That doesn't mean easy street. That doesn't mean good life as the world defined it. It means a life where God is with you and guiding you and directing you and caring for you every step of the way to make you more like his son. See, this morning we've looked at a time of tragedy and trouble from Ruth chapter 1. We've also looked at a time of transition and transformation. And if you're here this morning and you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, let me remind you what you likely already know. That life is filled with tragedy and trouble because of evil. You've experienced it. You've seen it. And if you have not seen it or experienced it, you will. But you need to understand your God. Your God is perfect. Your God is good. Your God is righteous and kind and loving and compassionate and just and holy. He has made you to reflect him and honor him and relate to him. And yet, because of evil, that includes your evil, my friend. The evil that is within you. You have a nature that is bent toward evil because your nature is corrupted. You may have been taught some things that weren't good, but no one had to teach you how to dishonor God. It just comes naturally for all of us. And because of that, you, my friend, are deserving of God's judgment, God's righteous judgment, separation from him forever, no relationship. Remember, you've rebelled against him. But here's some really good news. God has provided hope and transformation in his son. See, God did something amazing. God could not tolerate sin because then he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be perfect. He wouldn't be righteous. He wouldn't be just. But he loves sinners and wants to save them. That's a predicament for us, but not for him. So you know what he did? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life in your place. He was holy and righteous. He then died in your place to pay for your sin. He then rose from the dead, which proved and showed that he's God and that the sacrifice that he made for your sin has been paid in full. So guess what now? God can still be righteous and perfect and just, and you can still have life in him because his son took on for you what you deserve to take on. That's why we call it the good news of the gospel. And your response to that good news is simply to believe in Jesus, to trust in Jesus alone for your salvation and your freedom from sin and your freedom from God's judgment. And when Jesus rescues you from your sin, he gives you a spirit, he brings you into a family, and now you'll be with him forever. And now you have constant hope in the midst of a world that needs hope and feels hopeless, because you have God now. And then believer, for us, here's what we want to remember and take away and reflect on and pray about and encourage each other with, because I need this encouragement every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Ready? Even when our lives seem hopeless, we can have comfort and confidence in God, who is greater than our circumstances and is at work in our lives for his glory and our good. Friends, you need to encourage me, Josh. Your circumstances might not be good, but look to the God of your circumstances. And I need to do the same for you. That's what we need to do as a family. Even when our lives seem hopeless, we can have comfort and confidence in God, who's greater than our circumstances and is at work in our lives for his glory and our good. Friends, let's pray this together. Father, thank you for the truths of your word. We pray that in your kindness and grace that you would use them to sink deep into our hearts and deep into our minds, and may they transform us. God, I pray for those who are feeling like Naomi this morning. I pray, God, that you would be their source of comfort and that you would be their source of hope, and that they would be reminded of who you are and what you've done. And I pray that you would help us as followers of Jesus to provide support and encouragement and comfort to one another. God, I pray that you would help us to find our comfort and our confidence in you. Because of what your Son has done, we have life and eternal future in you, and you are with us to guide us and lead us every step of the way. God, thank you that we're not alone. Thank you that we have everything that we need, and thank you that you have given us the best, which is yourself. And so we praise you and we worship you. For your glory and for our joy, we pray. Amen.
The sun comes up, it's the new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the
sing that one more time.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship. Worship your holy name. I will worship your holy name.
verse just really fast and then we can go. The verse is Romans, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Have a good day.